Malta.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You are the first one. We'll wait another minute or so for others.
I'm
How
sorry,
are
could
you?
You repeat that? Hello?
What I had said to Malka was that she was the first one and we were waiting for others. I believe if some others have come on.
Okay. Okay, I'm on, please.
So we can start.
Okay.
We'll start with the Lord's food. We're starting our study with verse or Pasuk 4:14. And this is section 67 of the Siyam commentary on the Bereishit, the second volume. Beth. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin David Hilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Liachta L'shem Yud He Bavavhe B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ahino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Kunenei Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Kunenehu Amar Rabbi Chia Chia yoad kado yo ma'akaim Adam harishon v'chaze ba'avahan Tirein zimnin b'yoma v'yodai al chovo v'yach melon ahu atar tahawa be'ya Vikara ila'a v'yazel v'chame kol inun tzadikayayo v'chaside denafku mineya v'yartu l'hahu yikara ila'a divginta v'yeden v'avahan Kalhon Odan V'Amrin Ma Yakar Hazdecha Elokim Uvne Adam Betzel Kenafecha Yechesayon. Rabbi Chia said that until this very day, Adam continues to face the forefathers and confess his sins twice a day. He shows them the very location in the Garden of Eden, where he resided in supernal glory before he sinned. He also goes and looks at all the pious and righteous people among his descendants who have inherited the supernal glory that he had in the Garden of Eden before he sinned. The patriarchs praise and say, "How precious is your kindness, Hashem." The children of man, the Hebrew word is Adam, take refuge under the shadow of your wings. Questions, comments, thoughts.
It made me think of the verse, I think it was King David that said, "My sin is ever before me."
Correct. King David did say that.
Yeah.
And it's in Proverbs as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think when we take the whole story of Adam and the plan that Hashem has to bring us back to the Garden of Eden, that the patriarchs and everyone else in the Garden of Eden can praise Hashem. Which was that last verse.
Right.
Hano, so that means that Adam enters the Garden of Eden, but cannot stay. Is that what you're saying? or it can only view from...
If we read the verse, in English, it says he showed the very location. Doesn't mean that he has to enter that.
Okay, so he's viewing from the outside, basically.
Well, it's not clear.
I took you off speaker, so your separation would be less. It's not clear because he could be having using his memory and then projecting that memory as telepathy. So that would be one way for him to show them the place in his location in the Garden of Eden. And that could be double as the introduction to the souls who are going into the Garden of Eden as to how to find their way around the garden. That's just a projection on my part. It's a guess on my part. But he shows them could indicate that he gave them directions on how to find the location. But he's saying that this is he's saying this is to the fathers. He's not saying it to the, you know, he's saying it that it's doing it. He's doing this with the patriarchs. He's not saying he's doing it with all of the people. He's saying to face the forefathers and confess his sins twice a day. Why not three times a day? We pray three times a day, so why would it only be twice a day?
Maybe the third time or the rest of the time is doing something else. You know, I would hope that when you're in the Garden of Eden that you would, you know, you would be still studying Torah and just always telling your story of, you know, the thing.
We are told that we study Torah in the Garden of Eden. We're also told that the third prayer of the day, the evening prayer, is voluntary. It's not an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Although most people treat it as an obligation, that it's something they need to do. I don't know why we're having the reverberations and the repeating of my voice. I don't know. Are you hearing it that way as well, or is it just me?
It's very bad connection.
Hello?
Hello?
I still hear y'all. Do y'all hear me?
Yes. I can hear y'all plainly.
Yeah, okay. I'm hearing both of you plainly. I'm just... Sometimes I'm hearing my own voice coming back at me, that's all.
Yeah, well, we were hearing that too. At least I was. I was hearing it too and couldn't understand what you were saying. But you're okay now.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to ask a question. Could you tell me a definition of Garden Eden? Mm-hmm. Is it another dimension? Is it a resting place? Is it, I know it's a, where the souls are collected, or where the souls go waiting to be reincarnated. But could you kind of give me a general overview of what you think from the Zohar, what is meant by that Garden of Eden?
Well, you have to be more clear. Are you asking about the higher Garden of Eden or the lower Garden of Eden?
Both.
Well, the lower Garden of Eden is where the judgment that takes place when someone passes That takes place in the lower Garden of Eden. Excuse me. And then the it's a resting place, and it's waiting for reincarnation. And it's a place that the righteous go to. Everybody goes, after the judgment of the court, everyone goes to hell. For the righteous go to hell for a moment. And the purpose of that moment is to elevate anybody who's in hell, who's ready to come out. The righteous brings their souls with them. And then he returns to the lower Garden of Eden until he rises to the upper Garden of Eden.
Now, which world
are we talking
about?
Regular people will stay in the lower Garden of Eden until they reincarnate. It's also a place where the Ruach and the Neshama connect with the converts of the Nefesh. So that if in their second... I'm sorry?
So you're saying they go to the lower and upper. So is this... Which world are we talking about? This is in the world of... Zerampin? In one of those Sephiroth?
The Garden of Eden is Malchut. Of Malchut. We people get confused because the physical world is frequently described as being Malchut. But in reality, there's a spiritual world that is Malchut above the physical world. And that Malchut of Malchut is the Garden of Eden. The higher Garden of Eden is Malchut of Zerampin.
Okay, that helps me out a lot. Thank you. Hello?
Okay, so I'm going to read verse 415. Rabbi Yehoshua Amar Kaho Bine Alma Chaman Leya Liadam Harishon Vishata Demistalke Min Alma Leachazaa Sahaduta Dikin Kovo Divarnash He who eats the lack may alma the love again. The Adam Kimadit need none, ain mita below hut. Rabbi Yesta said, the reason Adam appears to each person at the moment of their departure from this world is to testify that this person is dying on account of his own sins, and not because of those of Adam. As we have learned, there is not death without sin. Questions, comments, thoughts? Somebody has got some background noise going on, so I'd appreciate it if you'd mute your phones if you're the one doing that.
I don't think it's me because I'm not moving.
No, I know. I'm not sure who it is, but okay. Sometimes it happens like that. So far, it's somebody they either stopped or they muted, so I appreciate that. Does anybody want to comment on verse 4:15?
Well, the wages of death are sin, and we know we're responsible for our own transactions, so it's sort of clear as red. I'm sure there's more, but on the surface, that's what it appears to be saying.
That's very clear, but it's a very deep statement. There's no death without sin. So it's saying that if someone doesn't sin, they may not have to die. If somebody has done teshuvah and reached the appropriate level of teshuvah for the sin of their participation in the sin of Adam, they would not have to die. That's what it implies. Does that make sense?
I felt like the first part overpowered what you said, but because I think the way it was saying that he appears to every moment of their departure, but that is an extension.
Well, if you remember a few verses back, it says that each person tries to say that I died because of your sin, Adam. And Adam refuses to accept that responsibility and says, no, you died because of your sins. I'm paraphrasing the verse, but it's in this section if you want to read it.
Yeah, I know. I guess it's just that I wouldn't accuse Adam, so that thought wouldn't have even occurred to me.
Well, there are a lot of people in this world that don't want to accept their responsibilities for the cause and effect in this world alone, let alone the cause of death comes from themselves. So we can understand that that the need to say that so that we can come to terms with it.
Right.
I thought we were born into sin, into the Malkut. And I know we can do Tisha B'Av. I understand that part. So we all have pretty much on a death sentence, basically, due to the fact of, you know, Adam falling is the part that Adam plays in it, that he brought death to the world. But I guess what you're saying is that if we correct our tikkun and we reach the level of the highest spiritual level of the soul level, then you're saying we don't have to die. Just like Moses or Elijah, that righteousness, correct?
Correct. It said that there are seven people who did not die.
Right.
That went to heaven with their physical bodies. One was Hanoch ben Yared. One was Moshe. One was Elijah. One was Sarah. Yaakov, that's four.
So with these righteous ones, and you know, I'm just going back to Moses, not picking on Moses, you know, he killed an Egyptian. So I assume he did Tisha B'Av for that, correct? Because that's one of the 10 utterances.
His tikkun was to kill the Egyptian.
I'm sorry, repeat that?
His correction was to kill the Egyptian.
Okay.
Moses is a reincarnation of Abel. the Egyptian was a reincarnation of the lowest level, the Nefesh of Cain. When the Torah says he looked this way and that and no one was there, the Midrash and the Zohar explains that Moses was looking and he saw that there would be no children coming, no righteous children coming from this man. There would be no purpose. And so his tikkun was to kill him, because Moses, as being a reincarnation of Abel, and Abel represents the right column energy, whereas Cain represents the left column, Cain that represents the left column energy. And Cain killed Abel. So the balance, the universe, Abel has to kill Cain, but at the level of the Nefesh, which is what the Egyptian represented. So it was his tikkun. There was no need to do teshuvah for that. As we know, the Esther Dibrot says, do not kill. Actually, it says, do not murder. And the...
Right.
But we also know that every mitzvah that you're supposed to do, there's also a time to not do it.
Right, and that's what we've been studying, striking by binding, right? But...
It's a little bit different. But essentially, Moses, his tikkun for this, with this individual, the Egyptian, was to kill him. And that balanced the universe. So there was no need for him to do teshuvah for that action. Plus, the effect of him doing that was that he had to leave Egypt. Hila had to get out of his comfort zone, where he had been born, where he had lived, where he was living a very comfortable life, even though he was going out to find out where his roots were. He was thrown out of Egypt. He had to escape out of Egypt, and then he wandered for 40 years until he settled down with Yitro and married Zipporah. So that was he didn't need to do teshuvah. He had the pain and suffering of being out of his comfort zone.
I always thought Seth took on Abel's soul for some reason.
I'm sorry, who took on Abel's soul?
No, Adam's and Eve's youngest son. Was that Seth? That's correct?
That was Seth, yes. That was Seth.
I thought he took on Abel's soul.
That may very well be. No, that is also true. That he did. Seth came on after 130 years. And there may very well have been a connection between both Cain and Abel within Seth, because he was a balanced individual. He had both right and left column energies. But it also could be that that was the second incarnation of it, Abel. And the ultimate goal is that the left column energy has to accept authority of the right column energy.
So I guess that's also where Isaac and Jacob and, Isaac took on the... Okay.
Yeah, it's all very, very related, yes. We only have a few minutes left, so we won't be able to finish 416, so we'll pick that up tomorrow.
Sorry. I have too many questions.
No, there's no such thing. That's what we do. You know, if we only do one verse because there's a lot of questions, that's a good day as far as I'm concerned. So no reason to say you're asking too many questions because you don't. There's never enough questions to be asked, and there's always more to be asked. So we will have a 7 o'clock class. I think you will enjoy this because it's not the same holiday preparation as last night. It's different. And at 8:30, we will count the Omer. So I bid shalom to everyone.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.